Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the freshest, latest edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast on WGNradio.com. Also on iTunes and along with the Chelsea Blogger. Scott King, I'm Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host for the Blackhawks on WGN Radio. And there is a little Blackhawks to talk here as the World Championships are underway. But I also was able to hit Rockford for the second time in their second round series against the Manitoba Moose. They take a 3-0 lead. Also talk a little bit about the rest of the NHL playoffs. Where have you been focusing hockey-wise here over the last couple of weeks, Scott? Obviously, you can't ignore some of the great action that we've seen in the second round of the NHL playoffs. There have been some fantastic games.
Yeah, no, I followed along with the Rockford game last night. I know you were there. We'll get into that later. But these playoffs have been great. And you know, you're used to seeing the Hawks in the mix, even though it's just the first round the last 2 years, but they've been great, great playoffs. You look at the teams that are, I don't know, maybe overachieving or surprising some people, like Vegas is still going.
Are the Washington Capitals overachieving? Maybe that's a question.
I don't know. They finally got past the Penguins. No, great playoffs. Been watching those quite a bit. And Worlds has been exciting as well. You got Kane and DeBrincat playing together, doing some good things. So, yeah, definitely a lot of hockey to watch still, somehow.
We'll get into, in general, the NHL playoffs a little bit later on. I don't think we're going to go 45 or 50 minutes like we did in our last Blackhawks Crazy podcast.
Going for a full hour this time?
That was without any Blackhawk game action to discuss. But we will hear from a couple of Rockford IceHogs and Coach Jeremy Collison here in a few minutes. But let's start with the Blackhawks who are in action right now overseas in Denmark at the World Championships. As we tape here on Thursday afternoon, Team USA has just completed its fourth game. Got a little bit of a scare today against Latvia, and maybe that's not a bad thing. They faced some adversity, falling behind 2-1. I was watching some of that game. There was some frustration. There was some pressure that the man with the C on his shirt, Patrick Kane, kind of had to perhaps guide his team away from in trailing 2-1 against Latvia. Some penalty calls came against them, but they end up winning 3-2. And Kane, who, as we said, is the captain of Team USA. Earlier in the first couple of games, he had a pair of assists. Then in the third game against Germany, a 3-0 win, a goal and 2 assists. And in this game against Latvia, he had a pair of helpers on the equalizer, which was scored by Colin White, and then the game winner by Cam Atkinson in overtime. Second time the Columbus Blue Jacket has scored a winner, the other one coming in the shootout in the opener against Canada. And Alex DeBrincat was named the first star of the game, or the star of the game. I'm not exactly sure how they do it, with a couple of assists, that coming off the heels of a goal in that game against Germany. Jordan Osterley and Connor Murphy are also members of Team USA. So far, so good for the Americans. You know, it's kind of a hodgepodge of players put together from teams that are not in the playoffs any longer. Charlie McAvoy of the Bruins will be joining Team USA for their next game. But so far, so good. And, you know, Canada's always loaded. Russia is just steamrolling their opponents heading into their game on Thursday against the Czech Republic, which should be a little bit more competitive for the Russians. But I haven't seen a whole lot of the World Championships. Obviously, I'm tuning in primarily for Team USA when they're on. And, you know, I think this is a pretty important feather in Patrick Kane's cap to see how far he can lead this team as the captain here.
It is. I think even with the Hawks, he's taking more of a leadership role. You look at how he's worked out off ice with all the young guys, and he's really kind of spends time with them after practice too, and you can kind of tell they're drawn to him and his advice and whatever he's telling those guys. And look, he's playing with Alex DeBrincat a lot right now. Mm-hmm. They're on the same line. We kind of alluded to that earlier, and that was a beautiful goal against Germany. You have Kane behind the net, feed DeBrincat right
more
in
of
front
that,
of the
please.
Net. Yes, he got wide open. Used his speed, got wide open, and that was a sweet, sweet goal. So those guys are only developing their chemistry more and more, looking great together, knowing where the other one's going to be. So it's only going to be good for Kane and Alex to keep playing in the worlds here.
Joel was reluctant during the season to put those guys on the same line together. They did have some power play time together, of course, but you know, he tinkered with it in training camp with using Nick Schmaltz centering the two of them, and a lot of fans got excited about that. But also during the course of the season, you could tell Joel, in terms of reluctance, not wanting to stack everything up and also try to, we've talked about this on previous podcasts before as well, try and keep Alex away from some of the top defensive pairings in the NHL, especially as a rookie. The times he has had it, he seemed to handle it very well. And but it is intriguing to see if Jeff Blashill, the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, who is the head coach of Team USA, decides to keep that group together. Obviously, you know, it worked in this game against Latvia. 2 points, 2 assists for each of those guys, on a line with Colin White as the center primarily today. So it's going to be fun to see how long this lasts, what kind of chemistry they have, how productive they can be here as they move along in Denmark. By the way, Jordan Osterley had an assist in the opening game against Canada, that shootout victory. Connor Murphy has yet to get on the score sheet, although he is wearing an A on his jersey as an alternate captain. But I think from Osterley's standpoint, there's a couple of other, you know, younger, less experienced defensemen on that NHL experienced defensemen on that Team USA roster. You know, Charlie McAvoy, when he comes, is going to be out there playing. So how this could potentially affect Osterley or a couple of other guys, Neil Pionk of the Rangers, Hughes, the kid who's going to be a draftee this year, goes to the University of Michigan, how that all affects how Jordan Osterley is going to be used here for Team USA.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of, I guess, still younger players, someone who used to be on the Hawks, possibly, I believe he is the points leader in Worlds right now, Mr. Teuvo Teravainen, 11 points in 4 games for Finland.
Yeah.
I mean, what could have been? A guy you could have used if you didn't have to sweeten the deal for somebody to take Bickle.
Right.
You know, when it stands, deals maybe he would want back, but you kind of understand at the time when a guy has a monster playoff like that and is a Conn Smythe finalist.
Yeah, there are sacrifices that unfortunately needed to be made with the salary cap situation that the Blackhawks are in. Other Hawks who are involved at the World Championships, by the way, Don Granato, the assistant coach, is one of the assistant coaches for Team USA. I actually saw an interview with him before the game against Latvia on Thursday. But Russia, which comes into Thursday's game against the Czech Republic just steamrolling opponents. They've outscored France, Austria, and Belarus by a combined 20-0 score.
Not Belarus.
Yes. Artem Anisimov had one game where he had a goal and assist. Same for Max Shelenov, who was a draft pick, I believe, 6 or 7 years ago, who continues to play in Russia. He had himself a goal and assist as Russia continues steamrolling. Good to see Erik Gustafsson on a very talented Swedish team, especially on that back line, earning some playing time. He's played in all the games so far, has yet to get on the score sheet, but I think it's real important for a guy like him under these circumstances, especially playing with some of the players and being exposed to some of those, you know, high-end Swedish defensemen playing alongside them, what this could do for his development as well. And then Tomas Jurco is playing for Team Slovakia, which has split their first 4 games, including a 3-1 victory over France. He has a goal so far in the first 4 games of the tournament. So that's pretty much where your current Blackhawks are. But yeah, in terms of how this all shakes out as we continue to approach the medal round and seeing which teams advance, I think it's a pretty safe bet that Sweden's going to end up being there. And I'm anxious to keep an eye on, besides Kane and DeBrincat, if those guys can get deep into the medal round, how Erik Gustafsson handles himself too, because this is one of those guys, and we'll hear from another in Carl Dahlstrom out in Rockford, who, you know, there's going to be competition for, you know, the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 blue liners as things stand on this Blackhawks roster right now, how Gustafsson accounts for himself overseas in this World Championship too.
Plus one already, like you said, he's seen a lot of big minutes, playing very well, and we talked about how, you know, guys like DeBrincat could have used those top, playing against those top matchups earlier in the season this past year, but all these guys are really getting that now. When you talk about the talent that's in international play, especially Worlds, these guys pretty much are seeing top matchups, you know, shift in and shift out here. Anisimov, I don't know if you said, Chris, he's, I think, 2 goals, 1 assist now, but he's...
Oh, it's 2 goals? Okay.
He's really trying to enhance his 5-on-5 play because he knows that's where he was kind of weak last season. I read some some quotes and some stories on him and how he's doing in Worlds, and it seems like he's doing really well. I think his faceoffs have improved a lot, too.
Yeah, that's going to be necessary. And actually, Anisimov was a late addition, too. When we spoke with him at the end-of-season press conference, he was unsure. That's because he hadn't been officially invited to that point, but he was a late addition, and now is playing for his native country out in Denmark.
So real quick, what about Schmaltz? I mean, you see these guys in USA. It's great they're getting this experience representing USA. He just didn't feel like going or want to stay? What was the feeling you got on that? Because I remember he was thinking about it at the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he factored into the decision-making process, whether he withdrew. I know he didn't really make clear whether it was a case of not being sure if he wanted to play. I kind of got that impression that he... You know, perhaps wanted to rest up after a full season in the NHL.
That makes sense.
All right. So, Nick Schmaltz, obviously among those who came through the Rockford pipeline, had some time there two seasons ago, and since returning from Rockford, has found himself playing really well towards the end of last season and having himself a solid regular season here, reaching the 20-goal plateau. But let's talk about these Rockford IceHogs right now, because they are on an unbelievable roll. 6-0 so far in the postseason. I was able to go to Game 3 against Manitoba Wednesday night, out in Rock Vegas, and they picked up another.
How was Beefaroo? What did you treat yourself to last night?
I did not do Beefaroo, unfortunately. I went to the Barnyard Barbecue,
wow.
I believe, that is right there in the building to satisfy my culinary desires.
They're
going to
give you your own food show, like a Check Please
That's
in Rockford
right.
with Chris Bowden.
That's right.
Sampling all Rockford's finest.
That's right. And hung with a couple of other folks here in terms of grabbing some dinner. But 4-1 was the victory over Manitoba. They have outscored the Moose 12-3 so far in gaining a 3-0 series lead. That after sweeping the Chicago Wolves in the first round, Colin Delia and the defense have given up just 10 goals in the first six games of the playoffs. His save percentage is at .953. His goals against average is at .152. And once again, for the fifth time in six games, the IceHogs gave up the first goal of the game, but then were able to kind of weather that storm and regain control. They are now 6-0, as we mentioned. And let's hear a little bit first from Dylan Sakura's brother, Tyler Sakura, who scored his fourth goal of the playoffs, tying for the team lead. We'll hear from the guy he's tied with in just a moment. But here is Tyler Sakura getting his fourth goal on Wednesday night, talking about whether this team is preoccupied with the fact that they are perfect so far in the postseason.
Honestly, not really, and I think that's a testament to the culture that we have, and it's coming from the coaching staff and the organization and the guys that we have in this room. We're coming in with a very focused yet loose approach. We're an extremely confident team, and I think at the right moment, we can still crack jokes and make fun of ourselves and realize that when it's time out there to bear down, that we do that, and we've managed to do that every game so far.
Yeah, they're a really confident group. Who can blame them with running off six consecutive victories? They're pretty loose. They seem very easy going right now, despite what's at stake. And you'll hear me mention in a couple of questions to the other guys about how important this is to play in games with higher stakes like this in the playoffs, but it's been really impressive and a testament to what this brand new coaching staff with Jeremy Colleton, Sheldon Brookbank, and Derek King have been able to do in getting this team to come together. And let's face it, let's call it for what it is. There are a lot of players on this team that are NHL veterans who are part of the reason why they are 6-0 so far. Not a lot of these teams that are in the playoffs are necessarily have the makeup of a roster of guys who have a lot of NHL experience under their belt. But by the same token, I think it's good to get in that proper confidence mindset for some of these guys who are, going to be trying to fight for roster spots come September here with the Blackhawks.
Yeah, and by the way, Chris, you talk about the six-game winning streak in the postseason for the IceHogs. It ties a franchise record mm-hmm. for wins in the postseason and also for goaltending wins for Delia. Great point about the veterans. You have, let's not forget about Cody Franzen. Not only can these guys play in situations they've had long careers of pro hockey, but they're also helping guys in a room develop, all these NHL veterans. And it's not just you know, your Edsels and your Delias and Securas who are playing really well and guys you want to see play well to maybe have a good camp and be with the Hawks. But it's the veterans are making a huge difference here.
Yeah, and, you know, some of those other guys who have NHL experience with their belts, Chris DiDomenico has 3 goals and 8 points. I believe the 8 points, yeah, do lead the Ice Hawks so far here in the postseason. Had himself a real strong series against the Chicago Wolves. Adam Clendenning, we've mentioned him time and again. He has a leading all defenseman in the AHL playoffs, the Calder Cup playoffs, with 7 points so far and a goal and 6 assists. Guys,
he had the shot. Sorry to interrupt you, Chris. Clendenning had the shot on Sakura's power play goal.
Right.
And so,
yep.
I mean, when you... We've talked about him before. That he's a guy that just kind of bounces around mm-hmm. in AHL and NHL, wherever he is.
What
if he has a good camp?
Yeah, you wonder whether he's a quadruple A baseball player.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
that's kind
exactly.
of the comparison that you have.
Couldn't they use his shot though from the point from the blue line on the power play?
Yeah, I think that's something. Obviously, they're looking for a little bit more. Every team that he's been on so far in the NHL looking for a little bit more consistently on the defensive side. He is paired up with Carl Dahlstrom, who we'll hear from in a moment. The other pairings, Cody Franzen and Victor Svedberg, another one of these guys who almost seems like an AHL lifer. I mean, 3 consecutive years down in Rockford, despite a cup of coffee up at the NHL level. And another guy, Darren Radish, who probably doesn't project to be one of these guys who is going to be a future Blackhawk necessarily, but paired with Gustav Forsling, who obviously has his name in the mix. David Kampf hasn't scored yet in 6 games in the playoffs. I thought last night he had himself a real good game. 4 shots on goal, generated some opportunities. There just wasn't any finish there. And obviously that's something he's probably going to have to work on in terms of, you know, solidifying his spot come September when training camp opens for the Blackhawks. Certainly accounted for himself well in a half a season or so up here with the Blackhawks and you know, held his own in the faceoff circle as well. But, you know, how he can develop his offensive game moving forward here as long as the playoffs go on, that's going to be interesting to watch. John Hayden had himself a good game last night. It's still been kind of quiet in terms of production, just 1 goal, no assist in the 6 games so far. But we mentioned Tyler Sakura, 4th goal of the playoffs last night in 6 games. He has 4 goals and 1 assist. The other guy is Victor Agesell, who also scored his 4th goal. He had that big game in the marathon clincher against the Chicago Wolves when he scored the game winner in triple overtime and almost the 5-hour mark out at Allstate Arena. Agesell had himself a goal last night. That brings him to 4 goals and 2 assists in the playoffs so far. First, let's hear from his head coach, Jeremy Colleton. I asked him after last night's game how Agesell's game has developed since really coming to North America less than 2 months ago.
You know, the offensive touch is going to be there. It has been there, and he's come through with some big goals for us. I think, you know, it's... These things take time to get comfortable both with the North American game but also playoff style of hockey, and I think he's fitting in well. Can he do more? Yeah, he can. He can have even more of an impact, but you know, when you look up and he's coming in with some space in the offensive zone, you feel pretty good that he's going to make something happen.
Is it one of those things where he needs to learn what to do without the puck?
And I also think it's just, you know, recognizing how important every 50-50 situation is. It's going to shape his next 20 seconds of his shift. So if he wins it, then he gets to play in the offensive zone. And if he doesn't win it, then he's going to have to defend, and that's not as much fun. Especially at this time of year, you know, every loose puck is, you got to ramp it up a little bit more. And I think he has at times, and that's why he's given us some positive shifts, but... We want him to have the puck all the time. We want that line to be in the offensive zone because then they're gonna give us a lot.
Yeah, and Jeremy Colleton putting him on a line with Luke Johnson, a guy we talked about in our last podcast here in terms of being a guy who's stepped up his performance this season. And then on the other side, Matthew Highmore, who had himself an empty net goal and assist last night or Wednesday night, and continues to impress in terms of his overall game and trying to make a name for himself. But I thought real interesting to hear Jeremy Colleton. Okay, you're at the big boy level. You're at the professional level now. And when you get into these games, especially for a guy who's 6'5", you expect him to win those 50-50 pucks, and that's what this coaching staff is really keying on with him. And we'll hear from Edsel in a moment, though. But yeah, anxious to hear some of your thoughts, especially in terms of a guy that the Blackhawks need net front presence, and can he develop himself in time for at some point in the regular season next year being a factor on this Blackhawks roster too.
Yeah, 6'5", listed at 214. I don't think he's going to have too much trouble getting motivated to try to get some more NHL games. Yeah, you heard Colleton talk. He just needs to be in the ozone more, and he needs to get involved in more battles and try to come away with the puck in those. So, yeah, I think he'll start, you know, using his size. For as hard as everyone was on his speed, I know scouts were, some of the reports I read, I thought he moved fine when he was with the Hawks, you know?
Cause I did, too.
Because you don't expect a guy that big to move, you know, well or okay in the first few NHL games. I thought he moves pretty well, and yeah, I think he'll get more and more involved in pursuit of the puck and in some battles as we see time go on.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, the Edsel readiness may factor into, you know, Artem Anisimov's long term future here as he enters the summer with the potential to be dealt if the Blackhawks so desire. He has to give the Blackhawks 10 names he'd be willing to be traded for if they want to go down that road. But I caught up with Edsel after Wednesday night's game, again, in which he scored his fourth goal here in six games of the playoffs. And I asked him first about what he's learned most and where he's needed to grow. Again, less than 2 months since coming over from the Swedish league. That included a handful of games with the Blackhawks.
It's a different game here, so you got to adapt to everything. And it means you got to be faster in your mind. You got to have more speed on your feet. And I mean, the game's just faster in every part of the game. I mean, it's in the corners, and it's in the front of the net. You just got to be more alert up there. So it's for every game I'm here, it's getting better and better, but still, there's things I have to improve.
Four goals in six games, I imagine the confidence level has to be pretty high right now.
Yeah, obviously, it's always nice to get some goals for everyone. And I mean, it's important in a game to be good now in the end of the season when you got it, when you have the playoff run here. So I mean, it's timing's perfect.
How much added significance is that these are meaningful games, playoff games, and you know you're playing games in order to stay alive? How much does that add to you know, the good feeling about getting on a roll here?
Well, obviously, it's great for us and for everyone in the group to have good games. I mean, we've been playing some good hockey these last couple of games, and we're not giving up everything and being good in the special team. So, I mean, I think every part of the game is pretty good, and especially the special team. But we can improve, like maybe a little bit in the 5-on-5 games. But still, the team is good, and we got a great feeling in there. So we just got to keep going.
What did you learn about yourself during the handful of games that you had up at the NHL level with the Blackhawks, and you know, where do you need to take that now heading into camp next year?
I learned a lot, and especially learned what I have to work on, and that is getting more intense, being stronger. So that's something I got to focus on in this off season, and that is just being more explosive and this all-around strength in my body. So, but still, it was fun to be there. It's a great experience, but I just got to get better at some stuff.
Have there been one or two guys you've leaned on since coming here to North America in terms of, you know, adapting and learning styles, and much less just adapting living here?
Well, obviously, the coaches have been great for me. Without Kinger and Jeremy's been helping me a lot, watching a lot of videos and stuff like that, because I need help. It's been tough at times, and it's not great yet, but I hope we're getting there. And as I said, that the more games I get there, the better.
So that's Victor Edsel. He mentioned perhaps this team getting a little bit better in 5-on-5 play during this playoff run. Their power play is 11 for 31 so far here in these six games. So that's been a huge factor. They also have four empty net goals. So of their 23 total goals in six games this postseason, just eight have come at even strength. Edsel's did in Wednesday night's game. It was really a sweet wrister from about 40 or 50 feet out that he beat Mike Connery, the Manitoba Moose goalie, who was in net for the Winnipeg Jets in the last trip here, the Scott Foster game, the Colin Delia Scott Foster game. And so Mike Comrie, I guess Colin Delia has Mike Comrie's number a little bit in terms of his counterpart in goal down there at the other end. But another encouraging sign was I know you weren't able to see it, Scott, but the way he was able to unleash a real quick wrister on what was an odd man rush just inside the blue line last night. Montgomery didn't really have a chance on it. And again, this is a little bit of an older guy, but everyone's kind of anxious to see how quickly he can reach, if he does reach, NHL level here at a point where he can stay here up at this level.
Yeah, that's a guy that the spotlight is going to be on at camp for sure, because mm-hmm. they're going to look for those adjustments to be made, and I think he'll make a lot of them. Getting back to the power play real quick, that's a 35% conversion rate.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's pretty good. You talk about the work that Colleton and his staff have done with mm-hmm. with that, with this team in Rockford. That's pretty remarkable, and you got to imagine maybe he keeps up this kind of consistency with the team in Rockford and helping young players develop. He's only 32 years old. That he might have a bright future in the NHL, possibly.
Yep, and let's hear from one more guy here from the Ice Hogs, and it's another one of those interesting players where when he was first called up to the Blackhawks, I was really impressed. I know Troy Murray was as well with what Carl Dahlstrom was able to do, the defenseman, the former second-round pick for the Blackhawks. But then as the longer he stayed up, I think the more exposed he became to the NHL game. Other teams kind of figured him out. And as a result, his production, I shouldn't say production, but his level of play seemed to slip a little bit, to the point where he was one of those rare guys who was brought up from the Rockford and then was eventually sent back down. A lot of these guys, once they were called up, stayed up. But Carl Dahlstrom was sent back down, finishing the year out with the Ice Hogs. But so far in the playoffs, he's had himself a pretty good go of it. They're using Carl Dahlstrom on the penalty kill, and so far he has himself a goal and 4 assists and leads the Ice Hogs with a +6 plus-minus rating through the first 6 contests of the postseason. And I started out a quick conversation with him after Wednesday night's game about how playing these meaningful playoff games with so much at stake will help his improvement come September.
For me, I think it's just a really good experience, first of all. Playing these games that we all want to play, that we play all season, just to get in the playoffs and then get to play these games and doing well as a team feels really good.
What did you learn about yourself, your game, during your time up with the Blackhawks this season?
I think it was more just figuring out and knowing that I could really play with those guys and seeing myself, playing with all those top guys in the league was just it's really cool. And I don't know, it's just awesome to know for yourself that you could really play with those guys.
Mm-hmm. And since returning, though, what have you focused on primarily?
Primarily all the things that Chicago wants me to do down here. Playing solid defensively and then, moving the puck up ice well. Just having a good stick, a good gap. Doing all these defensive things well.
Mm-hmm. And getting on a run here, playing deep into the playoffs. I mean, do you think that could potentially help your cause come September in training camp and trying to earn a roster spot up there with the big club?
Yeah, for sure. I think I see it as a way of already now looking to show the guys up there what I can do, and just showing everyone that I can be a really good player down here and be a difference maker down here. And I'll just once this all ends, never know when that's going to do, but just get a really good summer training and then be really excited to come back in September and have a really good camp, hopefully.
What's it say that the defense and Colin have given up just 10 goals in 6 games to this point?
I think we've done a really good job so far, especially Colin. He's been amazing back there, really sticking up for us when we've given up one or too many chances. And I think we all 6 guys playing right now feel really confident. I think we all have a good gap. We're close in place off early most of the times, and once they enter, we think we're close enough to usually just give the puck to our forwards and let them do their job.
Going 6-0 so far, is that confidence kind of permeating throughout the room, and is your confidence growing personally too with each victory you know, knock off here? Yeah,
for sure. I think just looking at these first, you know, we've let in the first goal a lot of games, but we've just, you know, we come back in every game, and I think that really shows the character and the confidence in the group we have right now. You know, there's no stress. You know, if they score, we just keep grinding and doing what we've been doing most of the time so far.
And that's going to be important throughout this Blackhawks season at the NHL level. It seemed like any time an opponent would score, all of a sudden, you know, it started snowballing on the Hawks, you know, and they weren't able to recapture the game. They were always chasing the game more or less, especially over the last couple months of the season. So you hear from Dahlstrom right there, Forsling, Ruda, Gustafson, Osterley. Those are all guys who had at least a certain degree of a taste of the NHL, some more than others, some were up all season long. But barring moves, and I think some moves will be made, but what that traffic is going to be like on the blue line for the Blackhawks heading into September, it's going to be interesting to see how some of these guys have taken what they've learned this past season, and in some cases what they've learned going back to Rockford here, and how they can utilize that moving forward for the Blackhawks when training camp opens.
Yeah, you know, Dahlstrom's a guy who they don't. The organization doesn't forget about these guys. They keep watching them just because they come up and then they go back down. They know they can play maybe at the NHL level, and they're giving them chances. There's just a couple things they want them to do. So it's up to those guys to showcase they can do that. And this is, I think, a huge camp for a lot of guys, not just defensemen. I mean, Delia might have a backup job the way he's been playing. Mm-hmm. If he can outshine Forsberg, and certainly there's room for maybe a couple forwards.
Yep, and you heard Dahlstrom talking about gap there. There's always some of these catchphrases, but you know, very true in terms of what the Blackhawks are looking for. Wednesday night, Rocky Wirtz was there, John McDonough was there, Joel Quenneville was there watching, and the Ice Hogs have an opportunity to get a second consecutive sweep on Friday night. By the way, there were only like 3,700 people there on Wednesday night, and I guess I'm spoiled. I'm used to going to hockey games, and there's full houses there. And maybe because it was a weeknight is one thing, but I would certainly hope some Blackhawk fans who are interested to see some of these kids play will get out there on Friday night. If they're pushed to a game five, that would be right back again on Saturday night over the BMO Harris Bank Center in Rockford. But yeah, get out there. It's a pretty decent atmosphere. You're seeing live hockey in many cases involving some of the guys. You saw it on the United Center ice. So I encourage all Blackhawk fans, if they have the opportunity, to get out there Friday, if not Saturday as well. But obviously the Ice Hogs are hoping to close things out quickly. By the way, the other series in the West, Texas is leading Tucson 3-1. On the other side of the Calder Cup playoffs, Toronto swept Syracuse. And then Wednesday night, there was the 5-overtime game between Lehigh Valley, which is the Flyers' AHL affiliate, and the Charlotte Checkers, which is the Carolina Hurricanes' AHL affiliate. 5 overtimes, and it was Alex Krushelnicki, son of Mike Krushelnicki, former NHLer, who scored the game winner in the 5th overtime at the 6:48 mark. 146 minutes and 48 seconds of hockey. You thought that 3-overtime affair at Allstate Arena was a long one. I got news for you. The longest in the 82-year history of the AHL. And Alex Lyon, who had 7 or 8 games when the Flyers are trying to figure out their goalie situation this year and the mess that it was, he faced 95 shots in that game and saved 94 of them. Lehigh Valley was outshot 95-53, but ends up winning the game by a score of 2-1 to take a 3-1
series. How many kids do you think were asleep in the stands? Probably in the middle of the 2nd overtime. I guarantee you, any kid under 9 was just passed out.
6 hours into it. So we'll see how much. I forgot to look up when the next game was. Hopefully, it's not a back to back.
At a certain point, there's too much free hockey. Right. At a certain point, maybe. But exactly. I mean, that must have been fun, though.
Yes. So that certainly was interesting to wake up to on Thursday morning. A couple of other notes, NHL, before we get into the playoffs and wrap up here. Dallas has decided to hire Jim Montgomery, who was the University of Denver's head coach, formerly coaching Blake Hillman, and Ian Mitchell, the Blackhawks' impressive so far. Second round draft pick last season. He moves on from the University of Denver after getting the NCAA championship a year ago, takes over Ken Hitchcock's former job in Dallas. So that's a new coach in the Central. And speaking of Rockford, the former Blackhawks coach in the AHL, Bill Peters, most recently with Carolina, then a parting of the ways under new management there. He moves over to Calgary. Rod Brind'Amour, former Carolina Hurricane star, was brought back to become head coach of the Hurricanes. That's kind of your more recent coaching news since the last time we had a chance to talk to you here on the Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Okay, we're taping here on Thursday afternoon. There is one game left in round two. The Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators. The Jets could not close the deal on home ice. What was that? Monday. They lose 4-0. Nashville, which hasn't been playing very well at home, especially Pecorine, they get another opportunity in Game 7. They have the quote-unquote experience factor in getting through the NHL playoffs deep into the Stanley Cup Final last year. They are back home, but man, Winnipeg has played well in Nashville's building. I'm not quite sure what to make out of Game 7.
Yeah, we were talking before the show. It was a toss-up for me. I just got a vision. I think, you know, my prediction. Cue the music. Like a Johnny Carson bit. I think Winnipeg is going to pull it off 3-1.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of going with Nashville. They'll find a way to.
They still might be the better team with the better guys, but the way the Jets have been playing them, especially like you said, in their building.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. What do you think would be the better series against Vegas? What would be better? I think either way, it's to me, it almost seems like a Nashville-Vegas series might be just a smidge more entertaining than Winnipeg.
I agree with that. And I think, in terms of
style of play, up and down, because these two teams, they get after it in terms of time and space.
I think Nashville will give Vegas more trouble, too. So I think that Vegas could beat Winnipeg, and I think they'd have a lot of trouble with Nashville.
Marc-Andre Fleury, 4 shutouts. Man, Vegas just keeps rolling along.
How about the East? What do you see happening in the East?
I'm thinking, I was really surprised that Boston, after going into Tampa and dominating that first game down there, then gets swept by Tampa Bay. I mean, great, Tampa Bay is good, but I was surprised to see them take care of business in five games. Lightning seemed to be getting their game back to the level where it was the first couple of months of the season. And for that reason, I see them beating Washington. Hats off to the Caps for finally getting that Pittsburgh ghost, that Sid Crosby ghost, and for Ovi, going in and winning in Pittsburgh to clinch that series. Good on them, but now I see their run stopping, and as far as I expect Tampa Bay to be the team to come out of the East, especially since they were able to get through the Brad Marchand lick gate.
I was going to say, Boston looked really good until Brad Marchand started licking people. I mean, then everyone's just like, hey, why is this guy licking people? What's with that?
Well, apparently,
talk about bad press.
Yeah, he did it once in the Toronto series, and I mean, come on, dude.
I mean,
I know you're an agitator, but
he makes Alex Burrows look like the manliest man in Mantown. What that kind of behavior does.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And so many people love Marchand as a player, and part of that agitator style, but taking it to that degree.
He grew his game past that, though. He's been very offensively gifted, let's say. He's been scoring a bunch of goals the last two seasons. He used to be that just a kind of Shaw agitator that could score, and Shaw even gave him a couple knuckle sandwiches in the Stanley Cup final.
But I always thought if he was going to be allowed to continue to do that, hey, next time it happens, right when he has his tongue out in your face, that's when you uppercut the guy.
And they should have thrown a book at him. You know, in 2018, all the kind of assaults and things people get charged with and sued for, they 100% should have thrown a book at him, and they didn't.
Yeah. So, but Brad Marchand, and by the way, a couple of those other Boston guys, we mentioned Charlie McAvoy going to the World Championships. Czech Republic's going to get a shot in the arm because Pasternak and Krejci are going to join the
I love his nickname is Pasta. I like Pasta.
Boy, he had himself a good playoff for two rounds. But they'll join their respective native countries at the World Championships.
All right, how about your Lightning Capitals prediction? I'm saying Lightning in six.
I'll go there, too. Yeah, I'll say
could do it in
I'll
five. Say six, I think six.
I'll say six
Washington's
as well.
Got some momentum
right,
there.
And you know what? Braden Holtby to the rescue. Good on him for not being given the start and goal to start the playoffs. Once he was given the opportunity, he's been pretty solid.
It's good to see him bounce back.
Yes, Michael Kempney. With a long
happy for Kempney. kind of a rough up and down go with the Hawks. Yes. Now he's in the Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, now, and he's been playing regularly under Barry Trotz as well.
Yeah.
So, as again, we promised we weren't going to go like 40, 45, or 50 minutes like we did last time.
Just like a few overtimes, you get some extra podcasts.
Pretty much a wrap for this edition of our Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Real quick. Mr. Chelsea Blogger, what are you working on in terms of some of your freelance stuff? We know you had a nice little sit-down with Matt Davidson, the White Sox, last time we had a chance to talk. What do you got going
on? Yeah, thank you. No, Chicago Magazine's been very good to me in my off-season with hockey. So I appreciate everything they're letting me do. Had a great sit-down with Davidson. That story is up in my social media. So I talked with him, kind of season he's having in his career, and talked to a former scout, and Konerko and Benetti, all on Davidson. And Davidson has a really kind of fun, interesting podcast with Benetti, so they're kind of talking about that. And Konerko addressed a comparison the scout I talked to made, that the scout thinks Davidson reminds him a lot of Konerko, his swing. And Paul had some really, really good stuff on that. It was pretty cool to talk to him.
Yeah, and now you're working on some non-sporty type things for your next project,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, today, actually. Today is Thursday. And I'm going to go to Heritage Auctions. They have a big comic book display that's going to be an auction, like $10 million worth of comic books. And I'm a big comic book nerd, and I buy and sell and have a collection. I've sold a few on eBay. So I'm interested in this today.
All right. We'll have fun. We'll look forward to that. And by the way, one thing we forgot to mention as well, since our last podcast, there was the NHL draft lottery. Blackhawks slipping one spot to number 8. They're still going to get a real good player, whether that will be an NHL-ready player right away, remains to be seen, but 7 teams will choose before them. Obviously, they have the Nashville pick as well. That coming up first round, June 22nd in Dallas. Then the remainder of the draft will take place on June 23rd. Again, Blackhawks 8th overall in the upcoming draft. We want to thank you for joining us here. It's just kind of fluid here. We're not sure when we're going to get another Blackhawks Crazy Podcast coming up. We'll certainly alert all of you to that on social media. You can follow on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy for everything Hawks, including Scott's Chelsea Blogger blog, when he's so inclined to write the Chelsea Blogger blog. Follow Scott on Twitter at Scott King Media. Myself at Bowden Tweets, and we'll give you a heads up when we have something else. Who knows how long this Ice Hogs run is going to go? Shh, they're on a roll. Let them go. Let's see how deep they can get into the playoffs. Certainly, they have taken a stranglehold on the second round series against the Manitoba Moose. Make sure to subscribe to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, maybe we can squeeze another one in, perhaps before Scott takes a little bit of vacation time.
Yeah, I hope so.
Maybe we can get that, especially if the Ice Hogs remain on a roll. In the meantime, thanks to Krista Flores for running the board here. Also, Joe Romano for putting this podcast up and available on WGNRadio.com, on iTunes as well. We'll tweet out links on Facebook and Twitter, too. So, for Scott King, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time.